Very good. So open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in this day where we can study your word in freedom, and we have the Holy Spirit here to teach us and guide us, show us how this deal works. You've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and we thank you for that. We know that we can open up your Bible, we can learn from it. We can learn how to operate in your kingdom the way you want us to and get something done. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Okay, so since we were studying the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I wanted to take a spin through the building blocks of faith just so people can have an understanding, you know, that they're in a position where they can be used by the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are available to you. This third block I want to cover is you're seated in Christ at the right hand of God. That means you're in a position of very high authority. See, we don't see ourselves the way God sees us a lot of times, but we need to. We need to look at these new creation realities and see what happened to us from time to time when you got born again. When you got born again, you got seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. You're at the right hand of power. You're an Old Testament type and shadow of this would be almost like Joshua when he was in, you know, when he got sold into slavery, and pretty soon he got elevated to where the only person with more power than him was the Pharaoh. And he had the key, he had the special ring. So whatever he endorsed, the Pharaoh endorsed. See, that's the position you're in. Whatever you endorse, God endorses. You stay in line with the Bible. What you endorse, God backs up. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together," literally made us alive. "Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." See, you are created to do good works. Amen? And you're in Christ. You're seated at the right hand of God. And God has already ordained you to do good works. Sometimes people think they have to wait around and wait for some special time where they could be ordained by somebody to go do something. You're already ordained unto good works. Amen. You can go out there and do the things that Jesus said you can do. All born again believers actually share a position of authority with Jesus. We're seated with Jesus at the right hand of God. This is a position of tremendous authority. One thing, you're above Satan. You're not under the circumstances. It's very important to understand this. There's too many people that are fighting for victory. They're fighting to get to victory ground. And that's not necessary. You need to understand, since you're seated at the right hand of God, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, all this stuff. You fight from victory ground. See, when you understand that, your battles get a lot easier. Go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. This is in red, so this means Jesus is saying this. Sometimes you got to look at these things and you got to understand full well that Jesus never could lie. He couldn't. He said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Verse 19, he has given you authority over Satan. He has given you authority over demons. It's right there in red. That's the Bible. There's a lot of people that run around say, "I believe every word of the Bible." But then they freak out at anything satanic. And they run scared. I like the story one time I was reading about this preacher. He got a hold of this. And he understood that he had authority over the devil. And he went, somebody called him. They were in a panic. And there was a demon-possessed man in there. He went in there, and evidently two preachers had already beat him to that place, and they were hiding in the closet. He went in there, and he dealt with that demon and got rid of him, sent him down the road, got the man set free, went over to the closet, opened up the door, said, "You can come out now, the devil's gone." But see, these were pastors that should have known better, but they're hiding from the devil. Don't ever hide from, you don't have to hide from the devil. He has to hide from you. When you understand that, your life gets a lot better. And you don't have to, you know, see, Hollywood has messed this deal up. They've got all this stuff all muddied up. There's people running around doing some really weird stuff that's not necessary. Follow the basics. What did Jesus do to the demon-possessed man with the legion? He went up there and told the demon to get. That's all we have to do. You get in the name of Jesus. That's all you have to do. That's what it takes to whip the devil. Amen? Use the name of Jesus. Tell him to go. You can do it so quietly that nobody around even knows what's going on. You don't have to scream at the devil. There used to be a song called "Shout at the Devil." I wasn't always a Christian, so I listened to some really weird stuff. But there was a song called "Shout at the Devil." You don't have to do that. You just tell him, "Go in the name of Jesus." Amen? Just go. He's given you that authority. He's given you that authority. When you realize that God's on the inside of you, the greater one is on the inside of you. And Jesus said, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." That means he's backing you up. Can you imagine how tough you would be if Mike Tyson followed you around all over the place? And whatever trouble you encountered, he'd just step in front of you and take care of it? Well, I'm telling you, there's a greater one than Mike Tyson. And his name is Jesus. And he said he would never leave you nor forsake you. So when you step out in the mission field to do something and you use the name of Jesus, he backs that up. He endorses that. It's as if you do the asking and he does the doing. So you don't have to be afraid of the devil. Look at Mark chapter 16. Verse 17. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Here's Jesus again. He said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." See, in order for you to cast the devil out, you have to have authority over him. Now, I realize we don't see a lot of demon-possessed people running around, but we do see people running around with demon problems. Demon possession means they're fully taken over, completely owned by the devil. That's what possession means. No Christian is ever possessed by the devil. When a man gets born again, the Holy Spirit moves in, and he doesn't live in a condominium. He doesn't live in a duplex. He's not upstairs and the devil downstairs. He possesses your spirit. 100%. Now, a Christian can have a demon attached to his soul and his body. Amen? And that can be dealt with. Very simply. We are masters over Satan and demon powers. We must tell them to leave us alone. We have to do that. You know, I read a lot of Kenneth Hagin books, and I really regard him highly in the Word of Faith. And he had a vision of Jesus. Jesus was standing in front of him one day, and this demon got up in front of him and started making all kinds of racket. And what Jesus was telling him, he couldn't quite hear, but he desperately needed to hear it because he was teaching him something. And finally, he said, "In the name of Jesus, get," and that demon dropped to the ground and took off. And Kenneth said, why didn't you do something about that?" And Jesus said, "I couldn't." So Kenneth, he said, "Okay, I didn't hear you right." I said, "Why didn't you do something?" And Jesus said, "I couldn't." He said, that just didn't compute to him. And he said, "You mean you wouldn't?" And he said, "No, I couldn't." And he kind of thought of it. He sat there and he said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "If you don't do something about the devil, I can't." Do you get that? If you don't do something about the devil, Jesus can't. John chapter 14, verse 12 said, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name." That literally means demand of the devil to get. Demand of sickness to get. But if you don't do something about it, he can't. The Bible tells us that whatsoever you allow on earth is allowed in heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. See? Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you bind, whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. That literally means whatever you allow. If you allow the devil to pick on you, they have to allow it in heaven. They have to allow that to happen to you. Why? Because you allow it. It's not God's fault. If you disallow it, they'll back it up. See, God's taking the blame for a lot of stuff. People say, "Why did God allow this to happen?" He didn't. He gave you authority on this earth. See, there's a big cop-out that gets preached a lot. And people say, "Well, God is sovereign and he is in control." He is sovereign. He is 1,000% sovereign. And in his sovereignty, he gave you dominion over this earth. So it's more up to us what happens to us down here than it is to him. As far as he's concerned, he's poured out the blessings on us. He's poured out the freedom. He's poured out everything that Jesus paid for us on that cross. He's already given it to us freely. Now it's up to us to receive it and walk in it. Amen? Look at James chapter 4, verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Want to know how to beat up the devil really bad? That just really drives him crazy. Don't do what he says. Don't do what he says. That's how you hurt the devil. Says to submit yourselves to God. So how do you do that? By agreeing with Him. Amen? By saying about yourself what He says about you. And then resist the devil. Just don't do what He does, what He tells you to do. Says He'll flee from you. And that's not just running off. That means flee in terror. When you don't do what He tells you to do, He can't stand that. Then you just tell Him in the name of Jesus to get. Amen? And He has to flee. That means in a panic rush, He's gone. But if you don't do it, if you don't do that, Jesus can't back it up. He has to have something to work with. Look at Psalms chapter 8. So we just resist. Not like the idiots on TV. You know, the guys that are resisting everything the president says? Not like that. Psalms chapter 8, verse 5. Says, for thou hast made him a little lower than angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Now, that translation right there is wrong, because then we get people thinking that we're lower than angels, but the translation is supposed to be that God has made us a little lower than him. Because angels have been sent to be ministers to the heirs of salvation. Now, if they're ministers to us, how can they be higher than us? That's just not possible. They've been sent to minister to us. Amen? Now, the way they do that, they hearken unto the voice of God's word. Now, the only way they can have something to work with is if we put voice to God's word. We say God's word. We say it. You got to get your mouth in gear in a positive way. I know people talk all the time and they just rattle off some of the dumbest stuff you ever heard. And it's just as easy to say what God says about you than it is to say what the devil says about you. The believer is not only seated above Satan and demon powers, but we are also seated above the angels of God. The Hebrew word for angels in this verse is actually Elohim. That's God. Elohim. The threefold name Elohim refers to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We have been made a little lower than the Trinity, not angels. Scaredy cat translators messed that up. Well, you think about it. God said, let us make man in our image. Well, who else was God with? in the beginning. That's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he said, let us make man in our image. And when he did that, he gave him dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle of the earth. Gave him dominion over all the earth. You really do have authority over Satan. I know sometimes it's hard for people to be convinced of this, to be fully persuaded of it. Especially, you know, sometimes people have been kicked around for years and years and years. And they just can't quite grasp the fact that they have been made more powerful than Satan because of the name of Jesus. We're in Christ Jesus. We are the body of Christ. You have authority over him. I know some lady gave me a book called Prayers That Availed Much. And I got to reading about that, where we had power to tread upon scorpions and adders. And I just took it. I thought, well, I can do that. I didn't fully understand everything, but I said, I can tread on snakes. And I stomped about 3 rattlesnakes into the ground, ran into her again. I said, man, this stuff works good. She said, what do you mean? I said, I don't. A snake stomping son of a gun. You quit that. God kept, he took care of me in spite of myself. And I finally learned what that meant. I mean, I have authority over Satan, over his court. You realize that because you have authority over Satan, you have authority over sickness. You have authority over cancer. You have authority over disease. You have authority over all those infirmities. You just have to take that authority and say, I'm not having that in the name of Jesus. You get. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 14. It really bothers people sometimes when I say that angels have been sent to minister to us. They actually serve us. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Who's the heirs of salvation? That's us. When we get born again, we become heir of salvation. These angels have been sent to minister to us. The way we get them in action, Psalms chapter 103, verse 20 tells us that these angels hearken unto the voice of God's word. So when we put voice to God's word, them angels get moving. You know, you have lots and lots and lots and lots of angels at your beck and call. Most people just keep them benched. They'd rather say what the devil says about them. But when you put voice to God's word, them angels get up and get moving. They get out there to cause these things to be performed on your behalf. Cause God's word to be performed on your behalf. But you have to say it. If you don't say it, they can't do it. Look at Psalms chapter 91, verse 11. This is a psalm that you should get in your heart. You should memorize this one so you can run around saying this one. You can say this often. You know, it's not for just when you're in trouble, but it's for all the time. Verse 11 says, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon lions and adders, young lions and dragons shall you trample under feet, because he has set his love upon you. Therefore will he deliver you. He will set you on high, because you have known his name." You've got all these angels. Give them a job. Say what God's word says. I don't care, and neither does God. You can open up the Bible and read it. You can read it to the devil. Say, "No, this is what the Bible says," and read it to him. Said, "It is written." There is nothing that's going to shake him up more than to have somebody copycat Jesus. I would tell you, go in your room at night if you're having trouble sleeping. Open up to Psalm 91 and read that out loud. Read it to the devil. If somebody else is having trouble sleeping, go in there and read that out loud. Say, "It is written in the name of Jesus. This is what the Bible says. This is mine." And let them angels have something to do in there. Amen? One thing you need to meditate on once in a while is, I am seated in Christ at the right hand of God. Sometimes people just don't understand the very important place that they've been put into when they get born again. And it's not because of anything special that they did other than receive Jesus as their Lord. The reason people don't walk in it often is they haven't had a revelation of it. They run around saying, "I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a servant." We do serve God, but we're not a servant. We're a child. We are sons of God, daughters of God. Servants don't know what their master is up to. But he lets his sons and daughters know what he's up to. He lets them know what's going on in this world. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that you have done for us, everything that you continue to do for us on a daily basis, and everything that you will do for us. Father, we praise you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for your grace and mercy. And we lift up the McElroy family to you. We thank you for your angels that are surrounding them, holding them up in their loving arms. Father, we thank you for your peace, your shalom that floods into this situation. Father, that everybody will be one. Father, that it'll be a true celebration of Sonny's going home. He's no longer in pain. There's no more sickness. He's in good hands. And Father, we can celebrate that we will see him again. Father, I bind the spirit of depression in this family, and I bind it in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that your peace that surpasses all understanding just floods into that family and holds them strong. In Jesus' name, amen.